بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for this nation. We have been talking about the great companion of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, the greatest companion of any prophet of Allah ever lived. We are talking about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, we'll continue from where we stopped in our last lesson. The author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, the Prophet praised Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Bukhari narrated that after our Prophet prayed al-Fajr, the dawn prayer, he addressed the companions who were with him. The Prophet said the following: once a man was leading a cow. Then he rode on the cow. Then he hit the cow. The cow said to the man, we cows were not created for this. We were only created for plowing. The companions present said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, a cow speaks. Our Prophet alayhi salam replied to them, I believe in this as do Abu Bakr and Umar. I believe in this as do Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Huraira, the companion who related this hadith, mentioned that Abu Bakr and Umar were not present when the Prophet said that. Then the Prophet said, so after the what the Prophet told about the cow, then the Prophet said, a shepherd was tending his sheep, and a wolf took one of these sheep. The sheep was saved from the wolf. Then the wolf spoke to the shepherd and said, you managed to save the sheep from me. Who will protect the sheep when a lion gets them and none is there but me? The companion said, a wolf speaks. The Prophet said again that he believed it, and Abu Bakr and Umar believed it also. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam testified for Abu Bakr and Umar when they were not there, showing how great his confidence in their faith was. So you have two parts of the hadith, a part where the cow tells the one who rides it and hits it that it was not created for that purpose, and the wolf who speaks to the shepherd that although the shepherd managed to save one of his sheep, But the sheep will not be safe from a lion when it comes to them. In both cases, the companions who heard these two stories, they said, Subhanallah, a cow speaks. And in the second part, they said, a wolf speaks. And in both cases, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, I believe in this. I believe that this happened. And Abu Bakr and Umar also believe that. And the crux of the story, the main part of the story is that Abu Bakr and Umar were not there when the Prophet said that. And this is a great evidence that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has a great confidence in the faith of Abu Bakr and the faith of Umar radiallahu anhuma. Ali ibn Abi Talib, a third companion, said, I swear by the one who controls my soul, Allah. I swear by the one who controls my soul. When we competed to do good deeds, Abu Bakr was the foremost. When we competed to do good deeds, Abu Bakr was the foremost. Always Abu Bakr ahead of everyone else. The companions' followers, so this is a testimony from the Prophet, then a testimony from a companion of the Prophet about the greatness of Abu Bakr. Now, the companions' followers all praised Abu Bakr greatly. Ali ibn Abi Talib had a son, Al-Husayn, who had a son named Ali Zainul Abidin. This Ali, this Zainul Abidin, was one time asked about the rank of Abu Bakr and Umar to the Prophet when he was alive. So somebody asked him, how do you see Abu Bakr and Umar in relation to the Prophet? Where do they stand? So this Zainul Abidin answered, he said, their rank, the rank of Abu Bakr and Umar, was as close to the Messenger of Allah as they are now, means buried next to the Prophet. You know, the Prophet is buried, and then next to his shoulder, Abu Umar, Abu Bakr. So the Prophet is buried, Abu Bakr is next to him, and then next to Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu. So Zainul Abidin, he said that they were close to the Prophet when he was alive, as they are now close to the Prophet after his death. And this, of course, does not come as a surprise, knowing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam referred to Abu Bakr and Umar as his hearing and sight. The Prophet said, Abu Bakr and Umar are like my hearing and sight. I hear with them and I see with them. It meaning they are very close to me, just like my ears and my eyes are close to me. The author said, signs Abu Bakr would be the caliph after the Prophet's death. Our Prophet never said explicitly that Abu Bakr should be the ruler after him, but he gave signs. There is no straightforward sentence where the Prophet said, Abu Bakr should be the Khalifa after me. He never said that. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said things that were signs that Abu Bakr should be the successor of the Prophet in ruling the Muslims. One of these signs was what Jubair narrated from his father, that a woman came to the Messenger of Allah for a need. She wanted to get something from the Prophet. And the Prophet told her, come later. Means you'll be helped later. Come later. She said, what if I come back and I do not find you? What if I come back and later I don't find you, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, If you don't find me, then go to Abu Bakr. If you do not find me, then go to Abu Bakr. So that was a sign that Abu Bakr will take my place in taking care of you. Also, Al-Bukhari and Muslim mentioned that when the Prophet's sickness intensified, he ordered Lady Aisha, radiyallahu anha, to tell her father, Abu Bakr, to lead the people in the prayer. She said that due to Abu Bakr's soft heart, people would not be able to hear his recitation. She had something in mind where she preferred that her father would not stand as an imam leading the Muslims in the prayer in place of the Prophet. She had something in her mind. So she tried to find excuses to make Abu Bakr not stand as an imam. So she told the Prophet, Abu Bakr is a soft-hearted man. When he recites the Quran, he cries. If he cries while reciting the Quran, the people do not understand his recitation. So it's better if someone else stands as an imam, not Abu Bakr. This is the way she addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, why not Umar? Why wouldn't Umar stand as an imam? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam repeated that he wanted Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Aisha kept on suggesting other people to lead the prayer, and she went to the extent that she told Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, who was one of the wives of the Prophet, to suggest Umar to the Prophet. So she went another way, asked another wife of the Prophet to suggest Umar to stand as an imam, because he's the father of this Hafsa. And our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam became angry, because he gave order, he gave instructions, clear instructions, that Abu Bakr should be the imam. So when this was going back and forth, he did not like it. And he became angry and said, you are like the women of Yusuf. Antunna sawahibu Yusuf. And he said, you are like the women of Yusuf. If you remember, Yusuf alayhi salam was called for zina by a prominent woman, and he refused. And then the woman in the community blamed her for falling in love with her slave. So what she did, she called her friend, her woman friends, to sit in a place in her house. She gave them a knife each, and she told them to start peeling fruits using the knives. And then she ordered that Yusuf come out and pass through them. And then when he passed through them, they saw how beautiful he was. They cut their hands. They were just looking at him and they cut their hands while using the knives. So she had an ulterior motive. She had a hidden agenda. She wanted to tell the woman, you blame me for falling in love with him. Look what you did. So when the Prophet said to Aisha, you are like the women of Yusuf, he meant to tell Aisha, you have a hidden agenda. You don't want your father to stand as an imam because you have something inside you you're trying to achieve. So it was true. Aisha was trying not to have her father lead the prayers because she did not want the people to see her father as an evil omen, in that he would replace the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if people see Abu Bakr, according to her, of course, if people see Abu Bakr leading the prayer while the Prophet is still alive, as if Abu Bakr is telling them soon the Prophet will die. So she said that people will look at Abu Bakr as a bad sign for the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she didn't want her father to be like that, a bad omen or evil omen. But our Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام insisted that Abu Bakr lead the prayers during his last sickness. And this insistence of the Prophet is an indication from our Prophet that Abu Bakr should be the one to lead the Muslims after our Prophet's death. So that's two signs now. When Ali ibn Abi Talib was the caliph later, and he wanted to launch a war, a person asked him, someone who, you know, like looking for trouble. He said, did the Prophet say that you are the caliph? Ali said, no, the messenger never said to me that I'm the caliph. However, means how did I become a caliph? However, the messenger of Allah advanced Abu Bakr to lead prayer before he died. Then we accepted Abu Bakr to lead our worldly affairs after the Prophet accepted him to lead our religious matters. So the Prophet put Abu Bakr as an imam for our prayer. This is a religious matter. And we accepted after the death of the Prophet Abu Bakr to be our leader, to lead our worldly matters. Then those who paid allegiance to Abu Bakr paid it to Umar, after Umar to Uthman, and then to me. Means this is how I became the caliph. The same people who said Abu Bakr should be the Khalifa after the Prophet, they did it to Umar, they did it to Uthman, and they did it to me. They paid allegiance to all of those people. This is how I became the caliph. So, you should pay allegiance to me. The one who's asking the question, the Prophet Ali told him, you have obligated to pay allegiance to me. From this statement of Ali, again, we know that our Prophet indicated that Abu Bakr should be the caliph after his death. And there are many, many, many signs. Some scholars said it is shown in the Quran that the caliphate of Abu Bakr is legitimate. And this is in reference to verse 16 in Surah Al-Fatih. Allah said in Al-Quran to Prophet Muhammad, قُلْ لِلْمُخَلَّفِينَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ أَوْ يُسْلِمُونَ. The meaning of the ayah, that you Muslims will have a leader, your leader will call you to fight a group of tough people until they embrace Islam. And this ayah refers to those who were called to carry out the fighting during the caliphate of Abu Bakr. Also, the ayah 54 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. And this ayah means, O believers, whoever apostatizes among you, Allah will replace those apostatizers with people who love Allah and whom Allah loves. And the meaning is that these people will be obedient to Allah and Allah will accept them. Because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dissimilar to the creation. So He is not attributed with the attributes of the creation. So He is not attributed with emotions, because emotions start and end. Because this is a change that is not befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if in Arabic we say Allah yuhibbu fulanan, which in English literally means Allah loves so and so. It means Allah accepts this person, accepts his deed. This person is accepted by Allah. So this ayah is about Abu Bakr, because when many Arab tribes committed apostasy, Abu Bakr was the one who fought them. Abu Bakr was the one who fought them to bring them back to Islam. And this ayah, of course, indicates that Abu Bakr was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are signs that Abu Bakr was a legitimate caliph after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr helps the Muslim when the Prophet dies. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam died, some companions did not believe it. When someone announced that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, some companions did not believe the news. Umar radiallahu anhu went out to people saying the Prophet did not die. He was angry when the person claimed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And Umar, the reason that he did not believe it, somehow he thought that he himself would die before the Prophet. So he did not believe that the Prophet died before him. But Abu Bakr, as usual, even in that difficult situation, did not deal with the situation incorrectly. He told the people, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. He said that whoever worships Muhammad, he died. As for those who worship God, then they know that God is attributed with life and does not die. And that statement of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it was followed, means he, after he said that statement, he recited an ayah from Al-Quran. He recited ayah 144 of Surah Al-Imran. 144 of Surah Al-Imran. He recited the following ayah, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And the ayah means, Muhammad is but a messenger of Allah who was preceded by other messengers. If he dies or he is killed, you change your religion. If you change your religion, then you will not harm Allah. And Allah will reward those who are thankful to Him. So He made it clear that we worship Allah. Muhammad is a human. His time to die will come, and it came. So He died. The one whom we worship is still alive. So there is nothing has changed. We're still worshiping Allah as we were worshipping him during the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who ever say that Abu Bakr's rulership was unlawful are wrong. All the companions agreed to his rule. There is a hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, the hadith in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, لَنْ يُجْمِعَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى ضَلَالَةٍ. And it has many versions. But the meaning that Allah will never make the ummah of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, will never make this ummah agree upon something which is misguidance. And the ummah agreed that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was the Khalifa. So this, as per the hadith, the caliphate of Abu Bakr was not a misguidance, was something that is true, lawful. After the Prophet died, Abu Bakr and other immigrants assembled in one place, while the Ansar assembled in another place. So the Prophet died, the immigrants just gathered in one place, and the supporters, the Ansar, gathered in another different place. Umar radiallahu anh said to Abu Bakr, let's go and meet with our Ansar brothers. Let's go and meet with them. We don't want to meet in two different places. So while they were on their way to the Ansar, they met two pious Muslims and they asked us, where are you going, O immigrants? Abu Bakr and Umar replied, to our Ansar brothers. Then these two people said to Abu Bakr and Umar, the Ansar have assembled under the roof of Banu Sa'idah. اجتمعوا تحت سقيفة بني ساعدة, which is a place next to the Prophet's mosque. And agreed, this people said, and they agreed to make one of them the caliph. Now one of the Ansar said, we are, means in their meeting, he said, we are the ones who supported the religion of Allah. We are Al-Ansar. And we are the ones who protected Islam. And so he was alluding that the caliph should be one from Al-Ansar. That's what he was, you know, hinting. Abu Bakr and Umar went fast. They met just quickly before the Ansar made a decision. And the reason they did that, because they both, Abu Bakr and Umar, had heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say a hadith, Al-A'immatu min Quraysh, that the caliph, the rulers of the Muslims, must be from the tribe of Quraysh. So they did not want the Ansar to take a wrong decision. So they wanted to go fast before such a decision is wrongly made. And Umar said, on the way to Al-Ansar, I was thinking about what should I say. So he was preparing a speech in his head to say the right things. But Abu Bakr surprised him and he said on the spot things that Umar was working hard to say. Abu Bakr came up with the words immediately on the spot and he said exactly what Umar was preparing to say, which shows that they were in agreement. So when they reached there, the Ansar said, they were told that the Khalifa has to be from Quraysh. So one of the Ansar said, then let's have two caliphs, one from Quraysh and one from us. And you could see how dangerous this is. So when Umar said that, heard that, he wanted to what? To cut the way of the devil. You cannot have two heads of, have you seen two heads of a state at the same time? One would be a helper, but not the head. So he said, he took the hand of Abu Bakr and he said, I pay allegiance to Abu Bakr. He's our Khalifa. And then the immigrants, they said, yes, we pay allegiance to Abu Bakr. Then the Ansar joined in and they said, we pay allegiance to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is our Khalifa. By doing so, Umar did the Muslims a great favor. He prevented a dispute from happening among the Muslims, a difference in opinion, a division among the Muslims. May Allah reward him a lot. He said, we feared leaving before we paid allegiance, because if we had, they may have elected someone and caused a dispute. Because you're going to say, no, we don't like him. The other one say, no, he's not legitimate. No, he is legitimate. There will be a difference among the Muslims. So we avoided having them. And then he said the case would have been that we paid allegiance to one we do not accept in order to avoid a conflict. We may have just said, okay, let's agree to him, but we don't want any trouble. But we know that he is not legitimate. Or that we opposed him. We can say, no, we don't want him. And then what will happen? Muslims will fight among themselves. Then he said, we avoided all of that by paying allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Allah facilitated paying allegiance to Abu Bakr, and the Muslims were saved from the danger of a dispute. Wallahu سبحانه وتعالى أعلم. إن شاء الله next week we will continue. لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيك.